What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey everyone, Robert here. Before we get into episode 2 of season 3, I wanted to let everyone know the release schedule for Tower 4, since a lot of people have been asking. As with previous seasons, Tower 4 will have a monthly release schedule. We know it sucks waiting so long for episodes, but it's how we've always done it. And with every episode of this season being longer than previous seasons at 40 minutes to over an hour, it's just not feasible any other way. The longer episodes are doubling production time, so an episode that took 50 to 60 hours to produce in season 2 is now over 100 hours, and we are still mostly a one-man operation here at 7 Lamp. Also, monthly releases allow us to spread things out with our other shows, put feed drops between episodes, get more advertisers, and promote our Patreon with early releases. So right now, as the release schedule stands, episode 3 will release December 18th, episode 4 will be January 15th, and episode 5 will come out on February 19th. That'll be the first half of season 3. We're still working on the second half. But in an effort to boost our Patreon, we are releasing all these episodes early and ad-free if you join the 7 Lamb tier, which is $10 a month. In fact, episodes 1 through 4 are on Patreon right now, and we are currently editing episode 5, and episode 5 will be out by the end of the month. Our goal is to continue to release everything months early for our patrons. And while we understand times are tough right now and not everyone can join Patreon, we still want to promote our page because it definitely helps us grow and fund further projects. If you'd like to check out our page, go to patreon.com/7lamb. That's the number 7, L-A-M-B. Once again, patreon.com/7lamb, the number 7, L-A-M-B. And if you don't already follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, make sure to do so at 7lamb Podcasts, because we try to keep our followers up to date on all 7lamb projects. And if you follow us, we also do random merch giveaways. In fact, 3 fans recently won Tower 4 t-shirts and other 7 Lamb merch. I guess that about wraps it up. So thank you, everyone. We appreciate all who donate, all our patrons, everyone who follows us on social media, everyone who emails and comments, and obviously all of you who listen. It really does mean a lot. Now for the next episode of Tower 4.
7 Lamb Productions presents Tower 4, Season 3, Episode 2, A Different Point of View.
Yeah, Gene.
Go ahead.
You just wake up?
Sure did.
Well, morning. Just calling to tell you the new guy's coming today.
Mike, right?
Right. Mike Archer. I just dropped him off and gave him the whole spiel.
How do you think he'll fare with the hike?
He's not really a fit individual, but who am I to talk? But I think he'll be fine. Just check up on him from time to time.
I always do.
Right, but we can't afford another Jerry situation.
That wasn't my fault.
No, I know. I'm just saying, we really need this guy to stick around.
Why?
Because I don't want another situation like last year. That's why.
Well, that's up to him, isn't it?
This guy seems more level-headed, but there's always that chance. Just be charming and let me know if he has any issues.
I'm always charming, Gene. You know that. And sounds good. I'll keep you informed.
Good. Over and out.
I was excited to talk to the new guy. Jerry Campbell seemed like a chill dude, but it didn't take long before he started going a little stir-crazy. A little. Not everyone was cut out for this type of job, but I loved it. The view, the fresh air, the lack of people. Hopefully this Mike felt the same way. Nope. I just tried calling again, but nothing.
You should be there by now. I hope he's okay.
Don't worry. I keep trying every 20 to 30 minutes. You said the guy isn't too fit. Maybe he had to take a lot of breaks.
All right, well, just let me know.
I took my slipper off and banged it against the leg of a table. I had a pebble or something inside. Hopefully that knocked it loose. As I put my shoe back on, I stared out the window in the direction of Tower 4. But could see nothing. I took the radio outside and went over to the railing. I waited another 15 minutes, enjoying the cool night air and sound of cicadas. Alright, let's see if he made it now. Mike, you there? Mike, have you made it to your tower yet? Hello? Jeez, it was after midnight. Would they really need to send someone in to check on him? I hope it wasn't me. I don't want to walk that far. Not after the trek last week. That was always the worst part of this job. The first and last day. Do you hear me? Mike? Mike? Are you there yet? Great. New hire gets lost in the woods on his first day. Mike! Alright, one more try. And I guess I'll need to make some more coffee because God knows how long I can keep this up before getting tired. Shit, maybe that's it. Maybe he called it quits halfway and just decided to sleep and carry on tomorrow. I wouldn't blame him. His hike was worse than mine. Mike, do you copy? Coffee it is. Holy shit, finally! Jesus, there you are. Did you just arrive?
What? No, I've been here. Sorry, I fell asleep.
Thought we already lost you. Gene wanted me to check up, make sure you made it safely. Been calling for hours.
Really? I just now heard you. I'm a light sleeper, too.
Okay, well, when I say hours, I really mean minutes. But I've been watching to see if the light came on in your tower, and it never did.
Wait, you can see me?
No, I thought I just made that clear. The light's not on. A moment later, I saw the tiny yellow rectangular light just over the horizon. There we go. Let there be light!
Sorry.
No need to apologize. Just want to make sure Smokey didn't get you.
Smokey?
The bear?
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry. I was making a Smokey the Bear reference. Should I have said Yogi?
No.
You must be young.
I'm 38. If 38 is young, then sure.
38? And you don't know Smokey the Bear?
No, I do. I just woke up.
Oh, okay. Calm down.
You must be Amber.
Must I?
Jane told me I'd only be able to reach you unless I went to some arch place.
Overarch? Yeah, you're not gonna hike there unless you really want to avoid talking to me. I heard it's a bitch.
Talking to you or hiking?
Hiking.
Oh.
Ah, so the man is witty.
Not as witty as you.
I'm hard to keep up with. Have to say, it's nice to talk to someone new. I hope you're not boring like Jerry. Should we do introductions? I mean, we should get to know each other somewhat.
Okay, sure.
This was my favorite part. And already I was enjoying talking to Mike way more than Jerry. I grabbed my notebook out of the desk and went to the table. I'll go first. My name is Amber Reed. I'm 32. A lie, but a minor one. This is my third year in Tower 3, and I love it here. I like all animals, except spiders that have hair. I don't care for long walks on the beach or staring up at the stars. Although you can do that a lot here. Stare at the stars, not walk along the beach. My favorite food is dried bananas, ever since I was forced to live off them for 2 weeks out here. There was a food supply delay. Now, even when I go home for winter, I buy bags in bulk at the local grocery store. I'm from Chicago, but moved west to Wyoming because I got tired of seeing trees interspersed between city blocks. Also, I hated the people. I hate most people, but I can tolerate a few in small doses. Oh, and my favorite color is yellow. Your turn.
I often rambled, and now I was interested in how he would respond.
That was a lot to take in. Still processing, but okay. My name is Mike Archer. I'm from Livermore, which is located outside of San Francisco. I've lived there my whole life. Love the West Coast. Never really traveled much. I recently quit my job and decided to do this.
Oh boy. Seems like we had another Jerry on our hands. Well, at least it wasn't the Sam or, oh shit, Vic. Anything was better than that old grump. But it was still a little too early to tell.
That's it? Come on, give me more!
I don't mind long walks on the beach as long as it's dark out. I hate the beach during the day. It's hot and I never go in the water. I'm afraid of the ocean ever since I saw Jaws 3, which sadly I saw before the original. I've never had banana chips, but I do love beef jerky, and I made sure to bring a bunch with me here, which is probably why my backpack is so heavy. I was never much of an outdoorsy person. I've been camping twice outside of the Boy Scouts. Hated it both times. But now I feel like I can appreciate nature a bit more. I don't mind people, but I hated my job. I had enough of data entry, so now I'm here. Never been a fire lookout before. Is that better?
It actually was, but I felt like toying with him a little more.
Give it a couple more years, and you'll have a concrete introduction.
Oh, good to know.
Hate to be that person, but I gotta ask. I'm sure Gene already did. What brings you out here?
How come people like that question so much?
Because this isn't a typical job. There's always a reason.
There's a reason for everything.
Mike, you're so profound.
I mean, is it really that interesting?
Sounds like you're avoiding the question.
I'm not.
If you don't want to answer, that's fine.
It's not that. I just find it interesting that everyone wants to know. What about you?
Hey, I asked first.
You answer, then I will.
Ah, so show me yours, I'll show you mine, basically.
Yeah.
I still asked first.
Come on, show me yours.
Okay, calm down, creep.
I tossed the notebook onto the table and leaned back. I stared at the slowly revolving ceiling fan as I twirled the mechanical pencil between my fingers.
You may think this bothers me, but I'm an open book and I probably share a little too much, but here it goes.
This was playtime for me. Each time I met these guys, I never knew how much of my real life I should share and how much I should have fun with. Gene always told me to keep it simple, and maybe this time I would.
I was engaged to a wealthy architect, lived in an amazing condo in the Town Lake Residences of Austin, Texas. He proposed, I said yes. Then 2 months before the wedding, I came home early to find him snorting coke off a prostitute's tits. Or who I thought was a prostitute. It actually was a secretary. She was just dressed like that to spice things up.
There, Gene. That's simple enough for you.
Jesus.
That was nearly 5 years ago. I moved out, called off the wedding, and sold the ring. Maybe that was petty, but it was a nice ring. And I didn't give a shit. After a year of depression, I ended up moving to Arizona, then Washington to stay with family. A cousin of mine suggested this as a job, since I wasn't happy working HR anymore. I jumped at the chance. This is now my third year, and I really like it. A little lie here and there. Although I did like the job. I mean, I loved the view and alone time. But the other stuff? Not so much.
Well then.
Okay, Mikey. Now it's your turn. I'll let you choose how in-depth you'd like to get. I sat up, grabbed the notebook, and readied myself, hoping my openness would help him.
Okay, well, let's see. I've lived in Livermore my whole life. I, too, was engaged once, but we broke it off, and when I say we, it was really her, and I just acted like I was okay with it. Her excuse was she didn't feel close to me anymore. The love had faded. I held back tears and said I felt the same way. So I moved out and stayed in a little run-down apartment until my mom became very sick. I took her to the hospital and found out she had CAD, or coronary artery disease. The doctors gave her a year to live, but she proved them wrong and lived another 14 months on top of that year they gave her. I moved in with her and took care of her for those 2 years. When she passed, I was in a deep depression. Also, the one close friend I had, Calvin, was murdered in San Francisco 2 weeks after my mother died, so I became a hermit. Didn't leave the house for months. Finally, I decided it was time to move on and pick up the pieces. I tried writing, which was always a passion of mine. But I needed to get away to concentrate. I found this job on a job listing site and decided it would be just what I needed. Staying in my mother's home was too hard. So I sold the house, put some of my possessions into storage, bought a truck, and drove east, and here I am.
Wow. Okay. You win.
Seems like in your case, this place helped. I was never one with nature, but maybe it'll work for me too.
I hope that was the case. As long as solitary existence among the pines and cottonwoods doesn't bother you, then you should be fine. Did you bring a pad and paper to write?
Brought a laptop.
Should have brought a typewriter.
Why? There's power here.
It goes out often.
Really?
Just make sure to charge that bad boy up when you're not using it.
Will do.
Hey, since it's late and you made it to the tower without getting mauled, I think I'm going to call Gene and then head to bed.
Okay.
Enjoy your first night. And if you feel like chatting, don't hesitate to call. You have my number. It's 1.
I think I can remember that.
And don't think I'm like one of those girls who just gives her number out to anyone. I only give it to mysterious guys who live in towers and have depressing life stories.
Oh, you're making me blush.
Sweet dreams, Mikey.
Night, Amber.
I took a moment to stare off towards the direction of his tower. Although, now I couldn't see it from where I stood, with the glare of my own lights in the windows. I turned off my light and went outside. Gene, you copy? Gene?
He make it?
Yeah, he's there.
Good. You talk to him much?
Yeah, we introduced ourselves, gave a little background.
And
he seems like he has a better head on his shoulders than Jerry and Sam. But it's the first night, so who knows?
Okay, yeah. Too early to tell. Check up on him often and let me know anything interesting.
Always do.
Good night, Amber.
Good night.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare, features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Did you find it yet?
No, not yet.
After using the outhouse, I headed back to the tower, but took a moment to look at the shed.
If it's not there, it may be in the shed.
You mean the shack?
What?
That's what Jean called it.
What a weirdo.
Sure, outside, by the outhouse. It'll be there. Trust me, before Jean was a ranger, he was a lookout. He knows how it is. So if the coffee's not in the food storage in your room, then check the shed. There are 3 wooden crates down there, all locked. They use the same key, but not the same key to get into the shed. But they're on the same key ring, probably hanging by the door.
Okay.
Let me know if you find it. I wasn't sure of Mike just yet, but things seemed promising. All I could do was hope it would be better than Tower 4's last 2 occupants.
Well?
It wasn't until after our chats about pissing from the tower, hidden foes, and Seattle's best cockiness that I was really enjoying my time talking to Mike. But the only thing I decided to jot down today was Jerry's bow. Not surprising about that, but I'd let Jean know.
Hey, Mikey?
Yeah?
You don't mind that I call you Mikey, right?
No, it's soothing. My mom called me that when I was a kid. Unless I was in trouble. Then it was Mike Lee Archer, get in here!
Your middle name is Lee?
It is.
Mine's Anne, with an E.
Amber Ann.
Amber Ann Reed. Short and to the point. Which is ironic, because I'm neither short nor to the point, as you can tell. By the way, if you ever get tired of my constant blathering, just say so, and I'll stop bothering you.
No, it's fine.
Well, that was a relief. We talked a bit more about inappropriate sexual discourse, fire lookout reporting, and bad sleep. That's when he mentioned something worthy of the notebook.
Well, maybe I would if there wasn't a construction site operating at full capacity bulldozing through the forest last night.
What? Are you talking about a dream, or is this some San Fran resident wisecrack that I'm not privy to?
No, there was a lot of noise last night. Sounded like someone bulldozing.
Hey, Mikey? No one's bulldozing in your area.
I couldn't believe it was already starting.
Well, there was something large and loud out there last night.
I knew what to say,
but it felt weird saying it this early.
I think you may have been dreaming.
No, I wasn't. I took some sleeping pills, but like I told you, I'm a light sleeper. Although, even if I wasn't a light sleeper, there was no getting through that noise last night.
Maybe a bear then? But they're not loud unless it's mating season. Which it's not. Wait, maybe it is. Is it mating season? It is spring.
It wasn't a bear. Not only that, I had some weird interference coming through on the radio. I thought it was you, but then I tried responding, but you didn't answer. You must have turned off your radio.
That, or I was on the other channel after talking to Jean, but I didn't catch anything.
No, I only turn off my radio once every 2 months to charge it. And when I do that, I use the spare battery-operated one, just in case.
Well, you didn't respond.
I wasn't a deep sleeper, so I think I would have noticed. I looked at my radio, trying to remember what channel I left it on. I definitely switched it back. I always did, unless I was in the middle of a conversation with Gene or waiting for important info from him.
That's because you didn't call. Were you on the right channel?
Yeah, I remember your number. It's 1.
I didn't get anything.
Are you a deep sleeper?
Hardly.
Then I don't know.
I still say dream.
Because it was always dreams. Well, unless it was a complete mental breakdown. But that couldn't be what this was.
It wasn't. I heard people talking, whispering over the radio.
What? Now you're just trying to scare me.
It was creepy.
Well, I didn't hear anything, see anything, or receive your calls.
Trees were shaking.
At that, I couldn't help but smirk.
Maybe it was Bigfoot.
But the moment after I said that, I kind of felt bad. I knew it was important to keep the mood lighthearted, but it didn't mean I had to mock the guy. A good 2 minutes passed and nothing from Mike. Oh man, did I offend him? Should I apologize? I was just about to call when...
Hey Amber, can I ask you a question?
Oh good, he wasn't upset.
Sure. As long as it's sexual, personal, hypothetical, or a combination of the three. If it's a form of trivia or in any way political, no thank you.
It's about the job.
I went back over to the table and sat, staring at the notes I made the whole time we talked about fire lookout hours, reporting processes, boredom, and how I operated day to day. But my eyes were drawn to the one note I put in all caps. Whispers. He heard whispers?
I just remember seeing those videos of Southern California and how devastating it was.
I shook myself out of my dead stare and looked over at my wall map.
But that's not a common occurrence. There are thousands upon thousands of forest fires a year, all over the United States. They happen, and they're important to the local ecology, so don't panic if you don't see one right when it starts.
Okay.
Hey, walk over to your map.
But I just sat down and put my feet up.
You cannot be that lazy.
I decided to stick with the teasing, since it didn't seem to bother him.
Okay, what am I looking at?
I told him all about the placements of the towers, the ranger station, and trails, and points of interest.
I can't tell if that whole explanation was truth or an elaborate excuse to justify you taking a 2-hour lunch break.
Don't tell Jean.
That he could. Over the course of the next 2 days, things seemed to go smoothly. Mike told me he was a writer, but was having trouble getting back into his groove. He also told me he was now an avid birdwatcher, which helped pass the time, and distracted him from writing. And he told me he had been sleeping better. Jean was happy about that. I made sure to keep up with my nightly calls with Jean.
Well?
Nothing. Everything seems fine, after that first night. He's just been birdwatching.
Birdwatching?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Anything on your end?
No, but out of curiosity, how often do you guys talk?
More than Jerry. Way more than Sam.
Okay. Have you talked to him about keeping stock?
No. No, I forgot. I'll do that tomorrow.
All right, hey, I gotta go.
You do?
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Copy. Over and out. It really seemed that ever since I took this job, the distance between us had grown. Not that I really cared. I had my job, and he had his. The next day after eating lunch, I decided to call Mike and tell him Jean's request.
Mikey!
While I waited, I cleared off my hot plate. I wanted some tea.
Mikey!
Yes?
Jean just called me and wondered how you were holding up. I told him I'd ask you.
Oh, I'm good.
Would you like to expand on that?
I guess I underestimated the level of boredom.
How goes the writing?
Is Jean interested or is that you?
I am.
Slowly.
I set the kettle down and turned on the hot plate.
Hey, Jean wants you to keep stock of your food and water. They send supplies monthly, but it helps if they know what they need to restock.
Oh, okay. Should I just write it down?
You should have a binder in the desk drawer. They have an Excel sheet typed out if you want to use that.
Sometimes it was hard to keep up the ruse of talking to Jean. But it's not like I did it often. And none of what I was saying right now was a lie. It was just the idea that I was recently talking to him that was a bit of a stretch.
I got it.
Good. Anything else to report?
I saw a tricolor heron the other day.
Wow, look at you. I'll make sure to inform Jean.
I wouldn't be bringing up the tricolor heron to Jean, but I did have another bit of information. Urgent information. Come on, Jean, answer. Jean, wake up.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. What is it, Amber?
I just got a call from Mike.
Oh, shit. And?
Classical music.
Shit. Okay, when? Just now?
I guess so.
Just out of curiosity, you didn't hear anything, did you?
No, I was sound asleep until Mike started shouting over the radio. I told him it might be some interference.
Oh, come on.
What?
Interference.
So what? A dream?
Yeah, he's having an episode.
An episode? Really?
Most likely.
Interference is possible. Am I wrong?
No, I guess not, but... Okay, fine. I'll run it up to the higher-ups, but I don't think it's a real issue.
This is way sooner than Jerry.
What's your point?
My point is, what am I supposed to do?
Do what you're good at, Amber. Talking. Keep the guy calm. It's only his first damn week.
Yes, I realize that. That's why I'm worried. Not only that, but you're not helping matters.
What does that mean?
Because you didn't tell him that section of the forest is closed.
There are signs posted up.
Well, he missed them.
Well, is he informed now?
Yes, thanks to me.
How did you leave it?
Told him he wasn't crazy. Told him there's not supposed to be people over there. If it was, the radio picking up some interference. Told him maybe he could hike out tomorrow and see if he sees anything. Then I told him I'd tell you.
Okay, let me check on some things and I'll get back to you.
Fine.
Switch back to this channel when you wake up. I'll let you know what I have.
Okay. I ended up waking up early and calling Jean. He had a little mission for Mike, and that was to head to Site 5. So I dropped my crossword puzzle book and poured another coffee while I waited to hear from Mike. I also spent some time looking for a flying insect in my place, which I believe to be a wasp, but never got a good look. It's what I get for leaving the windows open again.
You sure it's okay that I'm doing this?
Absolutely. I already talked to Jean, you're fine.
wasn't sure what the purpose of this was, but it wasn't my place to ask. So instead, I just kept Mike company while working on my crosswords.
Has anything like this happened before?
I tried to concentrate on my half-finished easy puzzle, but couldn't when I started talking about state regulations. I went on my little political rant, glad not to offend Mikey, then talked about the oil spill. But at that point, I was too frustrated to continue. Easy, my ass.
You not helping doesn't mean you're being selfish.
Sure it does. I have the time. Once I started this fire lookout job, I grew a whole new appreciation for nature. It makes me sad to see the negative impacts people have.
Which was only partly true. I always loved nature, and I always loved animals. This job didn't help grow my fondness. It actually hampered me. Every so often, I wondered when would be enough. But I guess that was more a question for Jean. But I hope this place did the opposite for Mike. After hearing about him becoming a shut-in after his mother passing, my heart sank. I'm sorry about that.
Not your fault. Shit happens, right?
Yes, it does. I really think if you give this place a chance, it can help.
Although, like Mike said, creepy whispers and music over the radio didn't help. He was obviously experiencing flashbacks, nightmares, or some kind of breakdown. Maybe PTSD? I'm sure the death of his mother didn't help, but I decided to keep things lighthearted.
Hold on. The music isn't creepy. You said it was classical music, like Beethoven.
Okay, you're right. The music isn't creepy. Hearing it over the radio at 4 in the morning in the middle of the woods, that's creepy.
Thank you for clarifying. Don't do my friend Beethoven like that.
I sauntered along the walkway, smiling and running my free hand over the railing, careful not to get splinters. There was something about our conversations that I loved. It was so easy talking to him.
Yeah, I just made it to some field.
Oh, I know where you are.
Am I close?
I went inside and over to the map.
About 2 more miles.
You could have just said no.
2 miles is nothing.
Except, where do I go?
Look for a poster mile marker.
I'm not seeing one.
I stared at the map, wondering why would they have him go out that far?
Would I really pick up music from this far out?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I thought you would run into someone a lot sooner. You know, if someone was really out there.
Why do you keep saying it like that?
Damn it, Amber, reel it in.
Like what?
Like you don't believe me.
It's not that. It's just, I've never picked up music over the radio before. I don't even know how that would happen unless they were airing it or playing it over a radio.
But then it hit me. Jean downplayed it. But maybe Mike was telling the truth. Maybe it wasn't interference per se. Maybe it was on purpose.
So is this all for nothing?
Not if you find someone.
But you're right. How would the radio pick it up?
I don't know. Is the radio picking up anything now? Mozart, static, Falco.
I teased him. Not in a hazing way, but in an elated with myself way. I needed to ask Jean again. Many writers listen to classical music when writing. Even my teacher would play classical pieces when we were taking a test. Maybe it was some kind of healing thing. I took a seat and continued staring at the wall map, as if I was able to follow along in Mike's adventure. I did help him pick up the trail again, and he even found one of the caches. I thought about the food and funny stuff I used to put in those things. The ones that were open on this side of the forest. Little uplifting notes for hikers, granola bars, pine cones, and empty crossword sheets. But then I remembered the one time by the creek. The bear! Oh, crap.
Did you bring bear spray with you?
I think I forgot it.
Really?
Yeah. Shit.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Am I in trouble?
No, you're fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit, I knew I forgot something.
I felt bad. I should have remembered that before he left, especially since he was exploring areas that didn't see a lot of foot traffic. Anyway, I told him of the importance of making noise and crossed my fingers. Thank you. wasn't necessarily scared for Mike, but I was a tad nervous. Gene, you copy?
Go ahead, Amber. How's Mike doing?
He's doing okay, but you know, I feel bad. He doesn't have any bear spray on him, and we're sending him into who knows what.
It's probably nothing.
Hey, quick question, though.
Shoot.
Is it possible that he did hear the music over the radio? I mean, if they wanted us to have him check the trail in Site 5, maybe it's for good reason. Or is there a chance that the music was intentional? Many people find classical music to be calming, right?
That seemed like three questions.
Feel free to answer any of them.
Listen, Amber, I do what they tell me. You know I'm not able to ask a lot of questions, but I relay everything I know, all my information, to you.
But I'm right about the music, aren't I?
You think they're sending it to him? How?
I don't know.
I think it's nothing. That's my honest belief.
I stopped pacing, realizing I built up a bit of an appetite in the process. Of course.
Just keep talking to him. Find out what you can, and if he finds anything, let me know.
So stick to the plan.
Yes.
All right. I'll call you back. I took a bag of banana chips to the table and sat. Gene's talk didn't help much, but what did I expect?
Just relax, Amber.
I plopped the banana chips bag into my lap, put my feet up, and leaned back.
Hey, Mikey.
Yeah?
Tell me about your book.
The one I'm writing, or should I say trying to write?
Yeah, what's it about?
What are you eating?
Banana chips?
I like how I'm out here in the wilderness, away from my post, searching for a mysterious musical trespasser while you sit in your safe loft chowing down on dried fruit.
Just then, I saw the insect. It was a wasp. Crap. Two windows were open, but not the one it crawled along. I opened the window as slowly as I could. Go on. Go out. I went back to my table and watched the tiny insect rub its antenna and then slowly crawl around to the underside of the pane. Go! One more scratch behind its head and it flew out. There. At least I was able to handle that.
Amber?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
There was a wasp flying around.
Don't worry, though. It went back out the window.
Okay.
What'd you say?
It's not important.
Was it about your book?
No.
Tell me about your book.
And he did, once he got past his weird, pretentious, hesitant attitude. It just took some coaxing. While he explained, I shut all the windows. I then went back, ate more banana chips until I started to feel queasy, and the conversation got pretty serious. I wasn't uncomfortable with it, but I didn't expect it to take this kind of turn. I felt like this was a good bonding moment. So I threw out another one of my experiences.
But it doesn't work if it's all talk.
And it was all talk. She promised change.
Exactly. I dated this guy Peter for 2 years. Every 3 weeks he would cheat on me. I'd constantly catch him lying. I'd break up with him, he'd beg for me to come back. I'd say no, and he'd swear things would be different. He'd make all kinds of empty promises. And for some reason, I'd believe him.
I actually got nervous after saying all that. Like he was standing over me, listening.
Love's a tricky thing.
It's a fucked up thing. My brain kept telling me to leave, but my heart, oh, my heart kept saying, give him another chance.
People don't change. Unless they truly want change. Or unless they truly believe there's a problem.
Wise words.
Here's some more. Don't trust anyone.
That's a little pessimistic.
It prevents heartache.
Does it really?
Who knows?
Hey, was Peter the architect?
No. Sadly, I've dated multiple cheaters.
Now, I didn't really care if he overheard. I was glad when the conversation diverted from me back to Mike. Although I did mention my family life, just leaving out the disowning part at the end, but that wasn't important for him to know.
Thank you.
Mike found a tent. One tent with two sleeping bags, but no people.
How long did he check?
How long? I don't know, but you can't have him go exploring the woods. If they're not at Site 5, they're not there. And I don't think he's gonna want to sit around and wait for them to come back.
Amber, we're not asking Mike to do anything a normal fire lookout wouldn't do.
Fine. So what do you want me to tell him?
Hold on. Stay on this channel.
Okay. I made laps around the cabin waiting for Gene to get back to me. A good 5 minutes passed before...
Amber!
Go ahead, Gene.
Tell him to just head back. It ain't worth staying out there. We'll have him wait a couple days and see if they pass the tower.
And if they don't?
And if they don't, then, well, he'll have to head back.
Seriously, what if they head back out the way they came? I'm assuming they came from the highway.
We won't know that unless he checks.
What about a car?
There isn't one. Now, will you just tell him what I told you?
Sure, yeah. Mike, you copy? Mikey! Still nothing. Where was he? Mike? I leaned against the railing, waiting another minute. Hopefully, he was okay.
Mikey? Mike, do you copy?
I'm here.
Where the hell were you?
You are not going to believe what just happened.
Days later, Mike went back to Site 5, but he found no hikers and the campground completely empty. No bears this time around.
Really? Gone?
Yeah, nothing here.
Well, that's good then. You didn't see them pass by the tower?
Nope.
That's interesting.
Is it?
Mildly.
After some talk about sexual fantasies, Mike presented me with a riddle I couldn't solve and then headed back. That night, I called Gene.
Nothing?
Nothing. But, he also mentioned an eye carving.
What?
A carving of an eye with a line through it? That mean anything to you? Gene?
Hey, I have to run out for some errands tomorrow.
Oh?
Yeah, and I'll probably listen to some Queen on my drive.
Tomorrow?
Please?
What time?
Noon.
You're gonna make me wake up early.
It's my only available time.
Fine. The climb to Brighton Rock, but it was the only spot where Gene and I could communicate without radios. I took a moment to check my surroundings. I was high above the trees and valleys and rocky ledges. In the distance, I could just make out the creek and part of the highway. I pulled out my phone and called Gene. Hey, I steered off towards the highway, but knew I wouldn't be able to see Gene. But that's where he was, just off the road somewhere.
Sorry to make you hike, but you know how it is with the ranger station, even at night.
It's fine. What did you want to talk about?
The company's been coming down on us hard recently, and they mentioned taking more drastic measures.
For us? Or for Tower 4?
I'm not entirely sure. That's why I want to be careful. No need to rock any boats. That's why when they tell me to do something and I tell you, you have to do it.
But he was almost attacked by a bear.
But he wasn't.
What about the campers?
About that, they're gonna look into it.
What does that mean?
How the hell should I know? But they don't want people in that neck of the woods.
Well, how do they plan on looking? They gonna borrow the helicopter?
I don't have the answers.
If they don't want people by Tower 4, then why send Mikey looking? Twice!
Mikey?
Oh shit. Just slipped out. Sorry, it's what I call him. Kind of came out suddenly and stuck.
Oh. Okay.
Gene, why would they send him back to the site if they plan on looking into it themselves?
What have I always told you when it comes to this company?
Don't ask questions.
Exactly. Just do what you need to do and I'll do the same.
I just feel bad.
Well, did you feel bad for Jerry too?
What kind of question is that?
Just wondering.
What are you getting at, Gene?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Uh-huh. So is that all you wanted to tell me? Is that why I just hiked nearly 3 hours?
No. Mike may end up going through some stuff shortly, and like I said, this company might be taking some drastic measures.
And that means what?
It means he may tell you some weird shit.
Like an eye carving with a line through it?
That's a company logo, Amber.
What? Really?
Yes.
Why the hell is it carved into a tree?
How the hell should I know? Maybe he carved it.
Mike?
Any of them. Now, can you please just do as I say over the radio and talk Mike down anytime he gets, shit, crazy?
What kind of drastic measures? More classical music? He heard it again.
I don't know.
But what would they do out here? What could they do?
Amber.
I know. Don't ask questions.
Yeah. Now, I have to run.
Where are you off to?
Gotta get some supplies. I just wanted to give you that little warning not over the radio.
Okay, thanks.
You're doing okay though, right? Ready for another season?
As ready as I can be.
No doubts.
No.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too.
Tower 4. Written and edited by Robert M. Lamb. Starring Jack Austin as Mike, Gina Coyle as Amber, and Brian Messick as Gene. Co-starring Corey Pettit, Nick Keeney, Austin Medlin, Pacta, Bonesy Rather, and Stephen Rhodes. Music provided by Taco at soundcloud.com/madebytaco. Additional tracks from pond5.com and artlist.io. And Brett Wilkins at facebook.com/wilkinsmusicfl. If you enjoy Tower 4, visit 7lamb.com for more podcasts such as this one. Don't forget to rate and review and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at 7lamb Podcasts. And we want to give a special thank you to everyone who has donated via our website or on Patreon. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. So from everyone here at 7lamb, thank you. This has been a 7lamb production.